Good evening. Tonight we'll be talking about enlightenment and self-realization. Well, good evening, spiritual types. Anybody who comes to a workshop in self-realization and enlightenment classifies as a spiritual type. Yes. Sometimes I can look at these things for hours. Well, you know, in higher planes of attention, I mean, you can see eternity in anything. It's not necessarily so hard. Well, tonight, God, anything can happen. But I'm glad you came. Oh, gosh, gee. So nice to see you. Kisses. So you want to know about death, eh? I thought I would dress suitably for the occasion. We're celebrating your funeral. Coming soon to a theater near you. Yes, everyone dies. It's a fact. That sounded good, didn't it? That was like very intense and right punchy and good way to get... Yes, everyone dies. It's a fact. And then you are reborn again. Big deal. And then you die again, and you're reborn again, and you die again. The average human being has something like 84,000 incarnations. Yeah. Isn't that awesome? 84,000 incarnations. And you're having trouble with one. So tonight, I thought I would make your life a little more difficult, and we would discuss how, within a week or two, in your spare time, you can lose all of the good karma you've amassed over all those lifetimes. Now, I would guess that chances are, if you're here tonight, you've had at least 30,000 or 35,000 lifetimes, somewhere in there. It's just a ballpark estimate. But you want to know about it, you really want to know. You know what you have to go through? Don't ask. If you ask, I'll tell you. It's a long, long, long explanation. But it's funny. That's the thing about life. You see, the chances of you attaining liberation, no, be realistic for a moment, okay, we're down to earth tonight, let's forget all the spiritual jazz, and let's talk dollars and cents. The chance of you attaining enlightenment is probably better than you realize. No, it's true. Why don't you have such a negative attitude about yourself? Why not feel it could be you? It could be. I wouldn't hold my breath. But it could be. It could be. Krishna, you know, you've all read the Bhagavad Gita and memorized it, I'm sure. Krishna says to Arjuna, at one point he says, Arjuna, do you know where I can get a good strawberry shake? That wasn't in your translation. Krishna says to Arjuna, he says, Arjuna, you know what your chances of attaining enlightenment are like? And Arjuna says, I don't know, man. What do you think? He says, well, one out of sometimes millions, sometimes billions, attains a full liberation. That's a lot of people. Now, you could, of course, take that very personally and say, well, what chance do I have? I mean, the lottery is a better shot, right? But you might have a better chance than you think, because what he's saying is that most people aren't even interested in the subject of meditation, enlightenment, and self-realization. So naturally, they're out of the ballpark. Okay. The first cut. Okay. You've eliminated several billion right there. So your odds have just improved dramatically. See what I mean? That's why you shouldn't be so negative. You see? Yeah. We're talking, of course, of the whole Earth. You don't have a chance. But most people on the Earth could care less about liberation. Yeah. So then, how many, I don't know, how many people do you really think are striving earnestly towards self-realization on this planet right now? Five, six, no. But how many? Oh, thousands, you know, 10,000, 20,000. Oh, there are many people in different religions, and they pray and do things like that, but they're not going through the training process that's necessary. It's a training process that the universe puts you through. In order to qualify, I mean, even to get into the pageant, right, you've got to figure you've got to have at least 40, 50,000 incarnations. And otherwise, they don't even look at you. Then you get an audition. And we're talking, you've got to be good. Not necessarily. Ah, this is the good news. You see, most people are under the assumption that in order to attain enlightenment, self-realization, we'll talk more about those subjects in great detail later. But in order to do that, most people think that you have to be really, really, really good, a sweetie, mwah, in love with life, little birds, trees, flowers, everything happy, all the time, blithering idiot. Nuclear bombs, wonderful. Pollution. Good, you know. God is in all things, yeah. So, you know, dull. I mean, God doesn't, you know, God gets bored by people like that. You know? Well, you can't have much of a conversation with someone like that. How are you today? Great. You know, where can it go? How's everything in your life? Wonderful. You know. A little less cocaine, please. So you want to know about self-realization. Well, you've come to the wrong place. No, the right place. It's some place. We'll find it. How do you do this? Well, there are different ways. You got your... I'm sorry, I have to go through this. Just bear with me. You got your Zen, right? Nice sounding word, isn't it? Zen. Right, Bodhidharma started it out. We'll get him. You got your tantric mysticism. Ooh, that sounds gnarly, doesn't it? Yeah, I like that. Yeah. You got your bhakti, the path of love. You've got your karma, the path of hard work. All those interested in the path of karma yoga, please line up on this pin over here. Hey, man, like, it's the 20th century, man. Like, you know, I can't hassle it. You look like I got a lot to do, man. I just don't have time. Wow. I mean, like, I got to get dressed in the morning. That takes a half an hour. Like, I got to take a shower, you know. Like, sometimes I forget to turn the water on. And then, like, I mean, it's just so much. The freeways, man, it takes me so long to get... By the time I get home, I'm too tired to, like... be enlightened, man. I mean, it just takes too much energy. Like, you got to be wealthy, you know, to have the time to do it. So yes, it's true. Enlightenment has become a tool of the wealthy and powerful. So yes, so you've got your path of four basic paths. Count them four. Path of love. This is ridiculous, I know. The sermon on the couch. Path of love. Sorry. Well, what do you want? You know, a hill around where they're not going to hassle us? Okay, you got... you got your path of love, your basic, right, bhakti. Selfless giving. Okay. path of knowledge, also known as jnana yoga. Okay, knowledge, discrimination. And that's the real techie stuff. And of course, mysticism. Those are the big four. Then you have the sub-variants like Zen, which is the path of no mind. Okay. The Tibetan rebirth process. Okay, techie rebirth experiences in the bardo. Oh, tantric mysticism, which is sort of living in the world and seeing God in household products. Oh, there's sub-variations. I mean, you've got Buddhism, for example, which is like a combination of various forms, okay? Or you've got Raja Yoga, or there's this, you know, they're all the isms, okay? Taoism, okay? The path of being wet. Yeah, sooner or later, one can offend everybody. So, what does this all add up to? It all adds up to a very confusing thing. I mean, imagine a poor little soul that went down to the Bodhi Tree bookstore that was looking for enlightenment, right? No, like we had a sincere one. Let's say one floated in from someplace, you know, Cleveland or something. They got off the bus in L.A., right? They heard that, you know, L.A. was a hot power spot. And like, shh, right? It is, yeah. There's ancient civilizations used to exist right in the Los Angeles area. Mystical civilizations. A lot of spiritual practice going back a long time ago was here, long before the Indians. This is this power spot we live in here. Wonderful place. So let's say somebody in Cleveland had a dream, right? You know, come to L.A. So they take the plane, whoosh, land at LAX. Okay, they ask, where's the spot? And they say, the Bodhi Tree bookstore, right? You know, because they have, I mean, any path that there is in that place, right? They have books on it. So you go down to the Bodhi Tree bookstore, right? Okay, and go inside, and then you look around, and what's the poor thing going to do? There are so many books, so many teachers, so many paths. God, I can't even afford half of them. That's the books, right? What's you know, it used to be simple in the old days. Really, you know, people couldn't read. This is my Zen approach, you understand. So, then what does it matter? See, I'll get you to that point by the end of the evening where you won't care what I say. See, and then we'll be making, that's good, then we will have gotten into another level of attention. Enlightenment. Enlightenment is absorption in eternity. It's to become one with what we call nirvana. There are various stages that we go through in the process. We can discuss it, but you should always remember that any discussion of the process is in no way indicative of at all what it's like, because we're just painting little tiny pictures of eternity. Enlightenment is to become eternity itself, to merge with all of life, all of existence, beyond definition, beyond form, beyond awareness. But yet there is a defined way to do that. Life has a structure. Life has a pattern, it has a weave. And when we understand that way of life, that eternal Tao, the movement of existence, of energy, of consciousness, as we pull back from the veil of Maya, of illusion, we become aware of that which we are. And that is the self, or eternity, nirvana, call it what you will. How does it begin? Well, we have to talk, of course, a little bit about reincarnation. Naturally, if we're going to deal with such a lofty subject, because that's a general cosmology, that usually is found in the approach. Reincarnation, there was a time, or there is a time occasionally, when there is no time, there's no life, there's no death, there's nothing but eternal awareness. The self, God, the unmanifest reality is everywhere. And then it gets bored. That's what they say in the books. It gets bored. And so, to give itself some entertainment, right, puts on a video. You didn't like that. Okay, I'll try again. The self creates out of itself infinite forms, worlds, realities, dimensional planes, multifarious beings. Everything that you can imagine and more is existence. That existence will be manifest for a certain period of time. In the East they call it the day and the night of Brahman. The day of Brahman is the creation. It's usually measured in yugas, okay, which are long, long, long periods of time. And there are these different cycles within a cycle of creation, and finally there's a cosmic dissolution. Everybody goes back, the stage is cleared, the players leave. Everything is empty for a while and it starts again. But that's only one aspect of eternity. Beyond that is something else entirely, and within that is everything. Enlightenment is the study of the particular, of the moment, of feeling, of being human, of having a body, of seeing the world around us. It's the exploration of interdimensional planes of reality, thousands of them, endlessly stretching out. It's discovering that we are not physical beings, but that we have bodies of light that stretch into these other dimensions, and exploring and discovering our different selves that exist in parallel dimensions. It's the experience of samadhi. Samadhi means the entrance into the supraconscious state, dissolving in a pure white light or clear light of the void, being absorbed in that light over and over and over until all of your impurities, not just the ones in the conscious mind but in the subterranean selves, are completely washed away and you're completely clarified. There's no jealousy, no anger, no possessiveness, no greed, no hatred. All of these qualities are completely washed away, even on subconscious levels. Eternity is a hard task, mistress. If you set forth on the pathway to enlightenment, then you must experience really a little bit of every part of life. And it's a wonderful, wonderful journey. Meditation is always the key, regardless of the path that you follow. Meditation takes us there. It's the vehicle. Meditation is stopping thought, stillness, erasing the perceiver, the one inside who's watching, who's observing, the personality forms. You're capable of everything, but to do that, you need something that you don't have now, power. The power of the kundalini, energy, which gradually rises through our being in the process of self-discovery. Self-discovery is so wonderful. I can't believe that people can get through the day without it, because life is so empty and horrible and boring without it. It's really terrible. You're out there and you're alone in this cruel world and people could care less, and even when they care, it's mostly about themselves. You know, we live in a world of wars and wars alarms. They're building, you know, Star Wars technology so we can pollute outer space now. I mean, it's ridiculous. The same old thing. So it appears, but it's not really. And that's the exciting part. One could get very discouraged if you just viewed the world. But the inner worlds are reality. This thing that you see life, where we're born and we exist for a while and we die and we experience some pleasure and some pain, is just an appearance. It's just the outermost surface of all that exists. Life is wonderful beyond comprehension. But in order to experience that, to know that, you have to be called. Hey! Shh. No, you have to be called. Something calls you forth. You're out there perfectly content to just like heavily sense out and have a good time with your life, right? And a hand, you know, like the Monty Python hand that reaches in. You know, the big hand comes down and grabs you and pulls you up and says, "You are going to follow the pathway to enlightenment." You say, "No way. Listen, I've heard all about that. This is not for me." Now look, there's lots of people in the world. You know, you made a mistake. It's the house next door. He's over there now. He prays all the time. He's got beads. He does the incense, the whole thing. You know? I mean, you should just, you know, if I tell you what I do with my time, you don't want me. You don't want to know. I mean, we are talking impure city. Sodom and Gomorrah, that was just lunch. I mean, what goes on in this mind of mine? Boy, I mean, it could wilt flowers miles away. No, I'm not the one. And then the voice says, "You." You can argue, you can reason. I tried, we all try. It doesn't do any good. When your number is up, that's it. They get you. You cannot beat God. It's worth trying, but you just can't. God has all the God can change the rules on you halfway through. You're playing under a certain system and you think, ha, I won. They say, oh yeah, read your rule book. And you look it up and it's been changed while you're playing in the book. You just cannot beat God. I mean, but you have to try. That's part of it. You've got to, you know, you just got to say, oh, I'm going to resist every step of the way. I'll make it tough for you. Go ahead. That's a sign of a good spiritual person, as you fight every step of the way. It doesn't matter. They get you. So I'd like to talk a little bit about what's going to happen to you. Because obviously if you've been drawn to a talk like this, much against your will, to listen to somebody like me, much against your will, obviously your number is up. It's clear. I mean, I just sit at home and meditate and, you know, put out an extremely powerful force and snag people like you to come and listen and get your consciousness expanded for an evening. Then you can go back and trash it and drop the energy. It won't matter. They got you. So my job, they sent me in tonight to talk to you because essentially, they wanted someone to explain to you what's going to happen. You know, they're compassionate. They understand. I mean, the people who run the universe. And they know. I mean, they've been through it themselves. So, you know, you're like the new recruits. So they just want you to understand what's going to happen to you, and it's really okay, and that God loves you, and, you know, sometimes. But, well, God has other things to do than just love you all the time. I mean, give me a break, you know. But they just wanted, they grabbed me and said, look, your job, you go out and you just explain to them what's going to happen to them and, you know, they'll feel better. They'll sleep better at night. So I said, oh, well, sure. I mean, I had nothing else to do. Sure, you know, it doesn't matter what I had planned to do with my life. No way, no. Sure, I've got nothing else to do but take my life and go up on stages and talk to people and have people out front with me. Sure, it's fine by me. I don't care. Get married, doesn't matter. No, that's okay, I can give it up. No, it's all right. No, no. Have children, no, that's right, never liked kids anyway. My career, sure, right. Which one? Which one do you want? I gave up 2, 3 careers, sure. No problem. For you, hey, you're hot. I'll do it. But I can't be responsible for their reaction, you know. It's a difficult thing to explain to someone that they're going to die, not just once, but again and again and again. And that it's wonderful. Because every death is followed by a rebirth. And I don't just mean in the physical terms of death. When you meditate perfectly, it's a kind of death. And death is a celebration. It really is. People misunderstand death. They're so afraid of it. I don't know why. You've died many times. You don't look any the worse for it. You know? There is no such thing as death. It's just it's an illusion. It's a doorway that we walk through. The question is, how can you beat death at its own game? Well, that's what I'd like to talk to you about. The only way you can beat death is to die before it gets you. Right. You understand. That's what a warrior does. Okay. Wimps, they just, oh, snivel, oh, I'm going to die. Oh. But a warrior is already dead. That's what enlightenment is. Enlightenment is a kind of death. You have to understand, it isn't the big lollipop at the end of the ride. And what do you think, you're going to sit around in Glow City all the time? Oh, sure, sometimes there's nothing but infinite light flowing through every atom of your being, and you are that light, and, you know, all the usual samadhi stuff. But, well, it is complete ecstasy most of the time. I mean, that's fact. I have to be honest about it. That is ahead of you. I don't know how you'll do with it. It's pretty intense to be in ecstatic consciousness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, and the whole bit. You get used to it. Well, it's kind of weird when you glow all the time. You know, I mean, literally, the kundalini just rolls off my body, and everywhere, you just glow. You can never be in a dark room again. No, seriously. You think I'm kidding? These waves of energy just always come out all the time. You know? It's like, what do you do with it? There must be a way to make money with it. That part I've never worked out. Now, Rajneesh does well at that, I must admit. He's got that part figured. We always run in the red, but what can you do? Anyway, so... That was good. I thought that was a good bit there. That put you through a change. So anyway... Now, wait a minute. Wait, what is going on? So, I think we should meditate. That would be a good thing. If you'd sit up nice and straight, please, I'd like to describe a meditation technique. Great. When I meditate with you, I'm going to be going into samadhi. I'm entering into dissolution. I go away, I dissolve. I'm not much here anyway, most of the time, but not at all then. And what will happen is a tremendous amount of energy, a volume of energy, will come through me to you. And also, all of these good folks here tonight are joined together, and we're linking our consciousness. We're creating a psychic network. We're networking our energy. A few people can make a terrific difference. People get very discouraged these days because, things don't look too good on the planet. But don't be fooled. A few powerful people can make all the difference. They always have. Even sitting here together tonight, linking our energies in meditation, all these people with all these incarnations of stored power is just waiting to come out. We send out a force and energy that is part of destiny, too. What I'd like you to do is to try and still your thoughts. We'll be doing several meditations tonight to music. I play electronic music to meditate, too. You can ignore the music or just flow with it, whatever you prefer. The first meditation I'd like you to do is a meditation on the third eye. The third eye, or the Agni chakra, is located between the eyebrows and a little bit above, right here. Okay. If you just take your index finger for a moment and touch your Agni chakra between the eyebrows and about an inch above, touch that spot and just press very lightly and close your eyes. Wonderful. Okay, you can let your hand down. The Agni chakra is one of the seven principal chakras in the subtle physical body, or the body of light that surrounds the physical body. They're doorways that lead us into altered states of attention, into states of enlightened awareness. They all work differently. I'd like you to focus your attention for a few minutes on the third eye and just look at that spot. After a while, you may see kind of a glowing light. It looks like the sun or like the moon. It might be different colors. You may see visual scenes, nothing at all. But while you're focusing there, what you're doing is letting the kundalini flow through you more strongly. And naturally, I'm producing a great deal of energy, or it's coming through me, you might say, to alter your attention, to bring you into a spiritual state of attention. Just focus for 2 or 3 minutes, and then stop focusing, and just let go. And just let the energy take you. When thoughts come in and out of your mind, please ignore them. Just relax and have fun with it. If the energy gets very intense, which it sometimes does, when we meditate together, just enjoy it, relax with it. Don't try too hard. Let the energy work for you. Don't try and accomplish any specific aims or goals. Don't use a mantra or anything like that. Just sit there and feel the silence, enjoy the music, and just let the energy fields that emanate from my being spread through you, and all of the energies from all of us here will network together, and we'll have a great time. Good. We'll just be meditating for about an hour and a half. So we'll be meditating for about, 5, 10 minutes, something like that. And then we'll talk. Good. Great. And we'll be meditating to some tangerine dream. So if you'd sit up nice and straight, close your eyes. Later on, you might want to open your eyes and meditate with the eyes open a little bit. But to start out with, focus on the third eye, please. You're all familiar with it. And we're going to be looking through the spiritual eye of vision at eternity, moving from time to the timeless. Don't try too hard now. Just let it go.